All right, as previously stated, we are so excited to have Sister Clark speaking to us this morning. Church, we love our pastor and pastor's wife dearly, and we have great respect and admiration for them, and we look forward to hear their voice anytime the opportunity presents itself. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Clark. Go ahead, Sister Clark.
All right. Thank you, Brother Vic. Good morning, Truth Church, and what a beautiful day it is, even though it's a little overcast. I love just any day God gives us is a good day, and thank Him for this day. Tomorrow is Father's Day, and I thought, well, I'll just talk a little bit about fathers, and I just thought maybe I'll just talk about my dad a little bit today. First, I want to read a few little quotes that I found on fathers, and I just always kind of look at quotes, and the ones that just kind of strike my heart that have a meaning to them, then those are the ones that I just kind of like. And so I picked out a few today, and one of them is by Charles Kettering. He said, "Every father should remember one day his son will follow his example, not his advice." So in other words, you got to practice what you preach. And it's not just your words. It's what you are and what you live is what your children are going to remember. Margaret Truman said, "It's only when you grow up and step back from him or you leave him for your own home, it's only then that you can measure his greatness and fully appreciate it." And that's talking about our fathers, and that's so true. We think we know it all when we're young, but then we find out later in life how much our parents really knew and how much our dads did. Charles Wadsworth said, "By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong." So true. So true. "The only thing better than having you for a husband," this is from a wife, "the only thing better than having you for a husband is our children having you for a dad." I can truly say that about my husband. I feel that way about him. He is a wonderful father to our children, and there's nothing that should mean more to a wife than her husband is a good dad to their kids and spends time with them. "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me." That's so important, dads, that you believe, let your children know that you believe in them. Even when they make mistakes or even when they fail, you believe in them and you know that they can do what's right and get back up. "I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection." I'm going to talk to you in a little bit about my dad and how I felt like he was my protector. I felt safe with him. So important for our children to know that their dads are going to be there for them and protect them. "Some people don't believe in heroes, but they just haven't met my dad." And that's how I feel about my dad. He was a hero to me. I loved him. I miss him. He was a great dad. This one says, "To the world, you are a dad. To our family, you are the world." Another one says, "A father is neither an anchor to hold us back nor a sail to take us there, but a guiding light whose love shows us the way." So important that we are leading our children in the ways of the Lord. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about my dad today. My dad, oh, he was a wonderful dad. He was a wonderful man. I wish you could have known him. And those of you that did have the privilege of knowing him, just a very few of you, you loved him. He was a jolly man. He was happy. He had a contagious laugh. Oh, my word, I loved his laugh. He always had a big smile. He was always up. He was always upbeat. He was a kind of a cowboy. He loved horses, and he especially loved mules. He owned mules all through our growing up young lives. He loved to go hunting. He was an outdoorsman. He was a hard worker. He was a good dad, and we knew that our dad loved us. When I was young, he wasn't living for God. He didn't live for God, but he was always a good man. He was always a hard worker. He was a man of his word, and he was very dependable. He did drink occasionally, but never in front of us. He never brought alcohol into our home. He never drank beer at home. He never did. He did chew tobacco. I don't know if he didn't smoke. He never smoked, but he always had a little spit can, and he always chewed tobacco. He always had tobacco in his mouth. I remember that as a young child. He chewed tobacco. I don't even know if anybody does that anymore, but he did. He did drink occasionally, but never at home in front of us. He would go with his brothers, sometimes his family, and they would drink, but it was when we weren't there or it was out of our sight. I do remember one time my mom found out that he was at a bar with his brothers, with his one brother. She got us kids in the car just because she couldn't, you know, there was nobody else to leave us with, so she had to take us. But she drove up to the bar, she went in, and she asked my dad to come home. And he did. I remember him coming out of the bar and getting in the car. That is the one memory that I have of my dad, and he was a little bit drunk that night, but that's the only memory that I have of him ever doing that in front of us. I always knew that he loved us, and he always spent time with us. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my dad came to us one night before as we were going to bed, and he said, "Kids, I'm going to bed now, and I will not see you until next year. I won't see you till next year." I started crying. We were all so upset. And I was always the one that cried the easiest, and I was kind of my brother was younger than I was, but I was really kind of the baby, kind of in a way, of the family. But I started crying, and he said, "Happy New Year's Eve, kids. Tomorrow's New Year's Day. I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll see you next year." That memory has stuck in my mind because I was so affected by it, but I'll never forget that night. He never wanted us to have a TV in our home growing up, even before he was a Christian. He felt like we needed to spend time outside playing games together. We did eventually get a TV, and I don't even remember whose idea it was to get it. But my dad was never really crazy about having a TV in our home, even when he wasn't a Christian. We were raised in the country for most of our growing up years. My dad was a milker, so we would live on dairies. Wherever he was working, they always had a home of some kind that we lived in that they provided. We always had animals. We had cows. We had donkeys. We had sheep. We had dogs. We had it all. We lived out in the country. We played in the alfalfa fields. We played in the hide and seek in the ditches. And it was a great life growing up. I always felt protected by my dad. I'm going to tell you a little scary story now. I remember one night we all went to bed. We heard some noise maybe on the roof of our house, or we thought it was the roof, and we yelled down to our dad, who was at the other end of the house, our mom and dad, and said, "We hear something on the roof." Or he said, "Oh, it's just a cat or something. Go to sleep." Well, later that night, my mom woke up, and someone was at the foot of her bed going through my dad's pants pockets. She called each of our names, Carol, Cheryl, Kathy, Ken, thinking it was one of us. There was no answer. Then she saw a man crawl out into the living room. We lived in an old house that had creaky floors. He was crawling around the edges of the room. He stopped in the dining room, and my mom saw him going through her purse. She quietly nudged my dad and said, "Casey, there's someone in the house." Normally, my dad would wake up, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what is it?" But he woke up very quietly that night. She reached over and told him there's somebody in the house. Well, he reached over and he got his loaded double barrel shotgun that he always kept by his bed. He stepped out, saw the man. He aimed and shot as the stranger was diving out of our dining room window. The curtains were shattered. Everything, the window probably was left open because we never closed our windows or doors at night. But the man got away and he took off into the night. None of us kids woke up during all of this. We slept through it. Our dog, Patty, was out on the porch and she was locked up in the porch, but she was barking like crazy. They let her out and she followed the scent and followed into all of our rooms. My dad went immediately to check on all of us kids. We're pretty sure that it was the milk can that lived down the street, because that morning at about 4 o'clock, he drove past our house with all of his belongings and he never returned. My dad had sold some cattle that day, but luckily he had went to the bank and put the money in the bank, so the man didn't get anything. But that was a really scary time. But our dad was our protector. And from that night on, for several months, we slept all in the same room. I slept right in the floor, right by my mom and my dad. We always sat at the table for our meals, and we always had the same place. We always sat in the same place. My dad was on the end, and I was always to his left. And I sat there, and I loved sitting by my dad. I always took out more than what I could eat on my plate. But my dad, he always helped me out, and he finished up the food. And he would say, "Kathy, your eyes are bigger than your stomach." Well, that's not the case today. I always clean up my plate now. You never have to worry about that with me. My dad got the Holy Ghost and was baptized when I was 16 years old, and it was such an exciting and wonderful day. My mom had backslid when she met and married my dad, but had prayed back through when she was pregnant with my oldest sister because she wanted to raise her children in the church. After my dad prayed through, he became a pillar in our church. He was a faithful, loyal, and dependable man to the church and to our pastor. You could set your clock by my dad. He was consistent. He was always on time or early. I wasn't that way when I was younger. I do not like to be late now, but when I was younger, I wasn't that way. One morning, I was leaving late to get to work, so I was speeding a little bit. I got pulled over by a highway patrolman. He looked at me, and he looked at his ID, and he said, "Do you know Uriah Casey?" And I said, "Yes, that's my dad." He told me, "I'm going to let you off. I'm not going to give you a ticket today, but I want you to take some lessons from your dad. Your dad comes by here at the same time every day. I can set my clock to him. Same speed, same time every day." I was sure thankful for my dad that morning. When I was dating a young man in our church that my parents knew he was just not the right man for me, my dad sat me down one day and he said, "Kathy, your mother and I love you very much. We like this young man that you're dating, but we feel like God has someone else for your life." Now, of course, they already knew Pastor Clark and they already loved him and they already had their eyes set on him for me. So he had some ulterior motive in mind. He told me they were praying that I would make the right choice in my life. Fast forward a couple of years to 1972. It's a long time ago. My husband and I started dating. We had known each other for many years, but we started dating seriously in about September or October of 1972. Before he asked me to marry him, he did the right thing, and he talked to my pastor, and he went to my dad. When he asked my dad if he could marry me, my dad reached out his hand to my husband and said, "Her mother and I have been praying for this for a long time." He shook my husband's hand and he said, "Welcome to the family." That was a good day. He was such a good dad. He wasn't perfect by any means. There's no perfect dad. He never had a lot of money or earthly riches, but we knew he loved us. He always provided for us. He spent time with us. He laughed with us. We knew that he loved us. One of the best things a father can give their children is not worldly wealth, investment, things of this world. None of those things. One of the best things a father can give his children is his time. Sometimes time is the hardest thing to give because time is very precious and we all live very busy lives. I do want to say today that I'm so thankful for my husband. He has always been a wonderful father to our children. I remember many Sunday nights when my son was younger. My husband would load up the van. We had a custom van that was, you know, you could sleep in it, and they were popular back in our day. But he would load up the van after Sunday night service many weeks, many, I can't even count them, head to the desert with our son, sometimes Stephen Mantooth, Michael and Timmy Torres, and other young men. I remember a young man, Johannes Escudero, that he spent time with. And he would take off to the desert. They would go spend the night. Christy and I'd probably go stay in a motel because I was scared to stay by myself. But we probably went and stayed in a motel somewhere and went and ate at Benihana and went shopping. But he spent time with his kids. He's always been there for my kids. And again, I know he's not perfect, but he always has time for them. To all of your fathers today, if your children are still young, make up your mind to spend quality time with them. Try not to brush them off in your frustration. Don't ever let them feel like they are a problem to you. I know there's going to be times when all of us fail and mothers fail and dads fail, but try your best to never let your kids feel like you are a bother to them. I can't think of anything that could damage a child's self-esteem any worse than being rejected by their dad. If there's anything in life that they need, if there's anything that I can impact upon you today, and that is your time. I thank God every day for my son in love, Brother Jeffrey Rao. He is such an awesome dad to his four boys. As we speak, he took his boys last night, and all four of them, and took them on an overnight camp out with some of their cousins, I think in a backyard somewhere, not even. But he always spends time with his boys, and you can see it in him. He would rather spend time with his boys than anyone else, except, of course, Christy, his wife. And you feel that from him also. But thank you, Jeffrey, for being such a wonderful father to our grandchildren. I'm thankful for my son, Casey. He loves his kids with all of his heart, and I know that. And he is a great dad in so many ways. And Casey, I pray for you always. I pray for him always. Above all else, Casey, I want you to be saved. You're a great dad, and I love you, Casey. Dads, if there's anything you can do for your kids that will pay great dividends in life, it's give them your time. And, of course, be an upright man a man of God, a man that follows after God and does and is righteous. But above a lot of things is just your time. It doesn't cost any money. Anybody can give your time. I love you all. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, a wonderful Father's Day. Hopefully you'll all be in service. Have a great day today, dads, and Truth Church, have a great day. I love you all. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Vic.
And thank you, Sister Clark. Wow. What can we say, church? We are thankful for our pastor's wife. We're thankful for Pastor Clark. But I want to say thank you, Sister Clark, for this great message and devotion honoring our fathers, all of our fathers. And thank you for opening and sharing your personal memories about your father with us. As Sister Clark recounted these stories, I couldn't help but to feel that we are a part of your family, Sister Clark. You make us feel that we are a part of your family. You and Pastor Clark are truly a great mother and father to all of our church. And church, I know that we all feel this way. Why don't we just right now thank God for Sister Clark, Pastor Clark, and the family that make us feel like we are a part of. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for our pastor, a great father to all of us. Sister Clark, a great mother to all of us. All of us feel like a member in this family, like an important member in this family. We thank you for them, and we ask you to bless them and keep them and continue to lead them and guide them as they lead and guide us, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. And with that said, church, we want to remind everyone to join us on our youth devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. We're going to hear a few special things tonight, so you want to make sure and be on that call tonight. God bless all of you. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.